Welcome everyone to our Natural Remedies Seminar. And I'm going to be going through a few natural...
Today, the murky world of well-being.
So let's have a look at some of the things that you do to boost that healing in the body.
When you book an appointment with someone who says that they're a health expert, you would assume that that person has training, qualifications, and that there's people monitoring all that. But in the world of well-being, that's not always true, especially when it comes to naturopaths.
Many people don't realise what's happening inside of their body.
But it's a broad field of alternative medicine that dispenses advice on diet, exercise and mental health.
Now, the colon has a mind of its own. Have you noticed? If you've got diarrhoea and you tell it to stop, it won't.
And right now, some people are receiving treatment that's unscientific and could be dangerous or even deadly. So, do we need a crackdown on naturopaths? I'm Laura Murphy Oates, and this is The Full Story.
This story starts with a person called Barbara O'Neill.
So what I usually do is say you've got to eat simply.
Yes.
Not complicated.
So Barbara O'Neill is someone who describes herself as a natural wellness advocate.
Melissa Davey is Guardian Australia's Melbourne Bureau Chief. She covers health and multiple other areas.
She's also described herself as a naturopath, and she gives health lectures online and also in person.
Do you know the body's designed to heal itself? If you give it the right conditions. No wonder my catchword is that, and my other catchword is...
She makes YouTube videos.
The only hope of better things on planet Earth is the education of the people in right principles. This body's been designed to heal.
She advocates things like detoxes. She thinks that there are a lot of poisons in the environment, everything from the things people clean their teeth with, to the moisturisers they use, to what they use to wash their clothes. She thinks there's a lot of environmental hazards out there, herbicides, pesticides.
I said, well, what I do is I teach people to look after their bodies.
And she's kind of, you know, anti-eating wheat.
We're going to look at the fascinating process that breaks that food to microscopic little particles.
Very pro-natural products, right? Which, you know, it doesn't sound all that strange, not based in evidence, but not that strange, right?
When you dig a bit deeper, what do you find out about Barbara O'Neill?
One of the really concerning things she did was she gave pregnant women health advice not to take antibiotics for strep B infections. Strep B is basically an infection. It's a bacterial infection. It can be found in pregnant women's vaginas or rectums, and it's normally found in healthy adult women, but it can cause problems for babies if they catch it. She said that no baby has ever died from strep B straight after childbirth, right? Now, statistics from the Royal Australian College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists indicate that early onset strep B has a fatality rate of 14%. In neonates, which is a risk that can be reduced by 80% with antibiotics. So she's wrong. She's absolutely wrong that there's no danger to a baby having a strep B infection. And so telling women not to get antibiotics to treat it when the statistics clearly show that babies can die from it, that's really disturbing.
So babies could really actually be put at risk from this advice, that's pretty scary. Does she give any other advice that could be considered dangerous?
But you know what? Cancer's a serious condition. And so to conquer cancer, you need to take some serious steps.
So Barbara O'Neill thinks that cancer is a fungus, which, let me say, is an entirely debunked theory. Cancer is not a fungus. And she thinks that...
And this is the rap that we do to help people conquering cancer.
It can be treated with bicarbonate soda.
Recipe is 2 kilos of sodium bicarbonate. It's about a third of a cup of lemon juice, 5 litres of boiling water.
Bicarb soda, like the stuff
like you find in your kitchen, right? Exactly. Yeah. And so she tells people to remove essential food groups from their diet to treat cancer.
Joshua has stopped all fruit. He's not having many carbohydrates. He's having
which are actually quite essential to cancer patients. You know, nutrition is very important. She advocates using these bicarbonate wraps to treat their cancer.
So what is happening is the sodium bicarb is infiltrating in through the skin. It's coming into the tissues and it's causing a very alkaline environment to be created in this whole body.
These kinds of, you know, alternative treatments often aren't harmful if they're combined with conventional medical treatment. I mean, they can be. There can be interactions between conventional medicine and alternative medicines. What is harmful is people who legitimately think that it's treating their cancer and they stop getting conventional medical treatment in the hopes that they might be cured in a more natural way.
Hey, hello. How are you? I haven't seen you for a long time. But
how do people actually find Barbara and her advice?
So Barbara's got quite a strong online presence and she has YouTube videos, she's got a Facebook page and a website.
We are still here at Misty Mountain. Look, nature in the background. How long haven't you been with us?
So she's been affiliated with this organisation called Misty Mountain Health Retreat, and her husband is the chair.
I'm actually really looking forward to spend a week with you guys.
And we know she's given talks there as well.
So is Barbara, Amelia. Michael's happy to take your credit card.
And when people go there, they can get gourmet meals, they get all of these fruit juices and herbal teas, they can have daily steam baths, they can have health lectures, they get exercise sessions.
He wants me to warm up the colonic chips for you for an absolutely extraordinary plumbing experience. What do you think? Misty Mountain is ready for you and so am I.
At one point it was even offering helicopter rides and...
That sounds incredibly luxe. How much does it cost to actually go to this health retreat?
Right, so it costs thousands of dollars. I mean, you can get all different kinds of packages, but it can be $8,000 plus for a two-week stay for two people. The weird thing about this retreat is that it's a registered health promotion charity. It receives government grants, it receives tax concessions, and it has to submit a financial report each year.
How is that possible that this Lux Retreat is a charity that gets concessions?
Well, that's a very good question because if you look at the definition of a health promotion charity, the principal activity has to be to promote the prevention or the control of diseases in humans. That could be through public awareness raising, medical research, developing aids and equipment for people with various conditions. And it has to be based in evidence-based health information.
So do they do any sort of charitable services at the retreat?
I have no idea. So I sent a list of questions to Barbara O'Neill and her husband, Michael, asking them who they targeted, how they found people to come to their retreat. I asked what kinds of conditions people going to the retreat have. They state in their most recent financial report that they target Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people and vulnerable people. So I was really interested in how these vulnerable people can afford to go to what is essentially a very expensive health retreat. And I just got no answers to my questions.
How do they market that to the community that they cater to Aboriginal people?
So if you look at their financial report, which they have to submit each year to the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profits Commission, they have to list the activities that they do and who it's for. And Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders are listed in that document. And weirdly, the charity has had some name changes over the years, and it used to be called the Aboriginal Healing Centre in the past, which would kind of, it would indicate that it's quite heavily targeted at Indigenous people, but they wouldn't answer any questions that I asked about what kind of cultural awareness training they have or how many Indigenous people they currently have on staff. It's all really murky. And what I do know is that the Australian Charities and Not-for-Profits Commission is now investigating them.
Okay, so they have charity status and they claim to help vulnerable people, but we don't actually know whether they're doing that.
Exactly.
She's got this wellness retreat that offers helicopters and colonics and she gets charity concessions for it. How does she actually come to your attention or to the attention of the authorities?
So a complaint was made to the Healthcare Complaints Commission, the HCCC, and they began to investigate. They looked at her professional conduct and they looked at her services such as, you know, being a naturopath, a nutritionist, a health educator.
What does the HCCC say about her?
Their 18-page decision says, Mrs. O'Neill endeavours to absolve herself of any responsibility for the advice she publishes. She claims that she's providing information and not advice, and it's up to the people as to how they interpret her. The Commission finds Mrs. O'Neill's approach to be dangerous and a significant risk to public health and safety. The Commission is concerned that Mrs. O'Neill does not recognise that she is misleading vulnerable people, including mothers and cancer sufferers, by providing very selective information. And as for her qualifications in the area of nutrition and dietetics, she had none. And, you know, at one point she even claimed to be a nurse, but she never completed her formal nursing training. So it's just crazy that she then tried to pitch herself as someone that was really qualified to give this kind of advice. And a decision was made that she would be banned for life from giving health advice to anyone. That includes in the form of lectures, public speaking. She's not allowed to see clients. She's not allowed to... All of this health advice we've been talking about, she's not allowed to give it in any context.
Well, that's pretty damning. And that, you know, they've banned her now. Does this mean that we don't really have to worry about her anymore, that she's no longer practicing?
I wouldn't say we don't have to worry anymore. There's nothing stopping her from practicing elsewhere. You can still find all of her material online as well, and she's been lecturing overseas.
Next, what happens to Barbara, and just how big is this problem? So you mentioned that Barbara was found to have pretty much no qualifications in this area. How is that possible? Like, what actually is a naturopath? How do you get qualified?
It's actually easier to say what a naturopath isn't. They're not medical doctors. They don't provide medical care. You can't point to a certain procedure and say, that's naturopathy, right?
Mm.
They do a whole range of things under the umbrella of naturopathy. And it can be everything from diet advice to exercise advice to things like iridology, acupuncture, colonic irrigation, giving people all kinds of herbs and vitamins. It's a really, really broad umbrella.
But what qualifications do you need to become a naturopath?
You don't really need any. I mean, you can go and get certain training and certificates and diplomas. You can even go to university, I believe, to study naturopathy. But anyone can call themselves a naturopath. It's not a protected title.
Like a doctor, for example.
Exactly. It's actually illegal to call yourself a doctor if you don't have the training.
So wait, I could go and get business cards today that say Laura Murphy Oates, naturopath / journalist.
Exactly.
And that would be legal.
Absolutely. Wow. And you could start charging people for some very questionable treatments or advice. It's interesting because the Australian government actually did a review of all alternative therapies a few years ago, and they found that there's no clear evidence at all for the effectiveness of naturopathy. But it is kind of hard because there are so many different treatments under the umbrella, like diet and exercise, eating fruit and vegetable, for example, getting enough sleep. Those kind of recommendations, they're pretty helpful. They're based in evidence. You know, it's sound advice, but it's the other stuff that naturopaths offer that can be really problematic.
Okay, so what type of problems does this lead to? Are there examples of other naturopaths other than Barbara O'Neill that give dangerous advice?
It can be incredibly dangerous. I mean, I wrote about the case of an 8-month-old baby boy who nearly died after a naturopath put him on a treatment plan that basically left him suffering from severe malnutrition and also developmental problems.
Wow.
In the end, child abuse squad detectives got involved. A naturopath was arrested over it, and it resulted in really, really serious harm. The boy's mum told police that she just wanted treatments for eczema, a skin condition that the baby had. And that's how she first started going to this naturopath, but it nearly killed her child.
Wow. How do we actually weed out the good from the bad with naturopaths then? Do we need some more regulation?
It's really difficult because it relies on the public complaining. People aren't really proactively seeking naturopaths out who are doing the wrong thing. The regulators don't have that capacity. So you can report practitioners like Barbara to the Healthcare Complaints Commission, the HCCC. They work with another regulatory body called the Australian Health Practitioner Regulation Agency. It's a bit complicated between different states and territories who you go to, but broadly it's either the HCCC or APRA.
But we were able to, you know, find Barbara's information online, find her YouTube videos. Are they able to completely stop her from talking to the public and practicing?
It's very, very hard to stop people like Barbara. I actually asked the HCCC about her online presence and whether that was a breach of the ban. And even they seemed a bit confused as to how that would work. They kind of indicated that she's allowed to be online in some jurisdictions but not in others. Mm. But how do they police that? They don't have the time or the powers to monitor every single website. And also, what happens if someone else uploads her content and videos? Are they held responsible? The other thing is Barbara is just giving her lectures overseas now. She does lectures in the US, New Zealand, the Cook Islands.
Wow.
They have no jurisdiction over that.
So she's still quite popular, not just here, but in other countries.
Yeah. She has a following, and a lot of other health retreats like hers invite her to go and speak. So there are a lot of communities of wellness-focused, like-minded people out there who would love the opportunity to hear from someone like Barbara O'Neill.
Why are people turning to them? Why are they so popular, do you think?
It's a really good question. And, you know, there are complex reasons, I think, but often these people look well. They're beautiful people and they have a look or a body that people aspire to. It has to be said that there are people who have really bad experiences in the medical system. You know, they have doctors who don't listen to them, or perhaps they don't feel heard, or they have complications. Maybe their diseases are really complex and really, really hard to treat, and they're tired and they want to try something new. And when you go to a doctor, often it's a very rushed appointment, or the advice is, you know, we're not quite sure what it is and we're going to run all these tests. But then you go to someone like a naturopath or a homeopath, and they've got all the time in the world to listen. And they give hope, and they give hope through these treatments which aren't invasive. You know, they feel safe. And that can be very tempting for people who have been unwell for a long time or who have been let down by the medical system.
What about the general public? What can they do to make sure that they don't end up getting advice from someone like Barbara O'Neill? Is there a question of education here?
Yeah, I think that it's really useful to understand what makes a good scientific study. So the basics about, you know, what a peer-reviewed medical journal is and how to look into some of this evidence yourself. It's also completely legitimate and fine to ask questions of your health practitioners, you know, ask why a particular drug has been prescribed, ask what the evidence is for its efficacy. And I call it health literacy, being able to make informed decisions about your own health based on a critical look at the evidence.
Okay, but what about naturopaths specifically? Is there something that we need to change about this industry right now?
It's not just naturopathy. We really need to look at complementary and alternative medicines as a whole, the kinds of courses that are on offer to train people in these professions, and the way that they are regulated. It's a really complex, messy system. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, but it is one that has, I guess, at best, the power to do nothing to help people, and at worst, the power to cause a lot of harm.
That's it for today. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the show. Just search for Full Story on whatever app you get your podcasts on. We'd also love to hear what you think about it so far. So if you're on an app that has ratings and reviews, give it a go. Special thanks to Mandy Lee Noble, who contributed to the research for this episode. And lots of thanks to Melissa Davey for her time. You can read more of her reporting at theguardian.com. This episode was produced by Ellen Leibeater and Joe Coding, and executive produced by Miles Martignoni and Gabrielle Jackson. Okay, catch you Monday.